You've turned into the broadcast where the rubber meets the road with Pastor A.J. Warner. This broadcast is brought to you by His Will Ministry. His Will Ministry is not here to sell you a diet program, videos, DVDs, or even a tape series that will change your life. We're all committed to one thing and one thing only, pointing you to the person of Jesus Christ. His Will Ministry is a worldwide evangelistic ministry. This radio program is only one of our many outreaches. We hope that you will be encouraged in your Christian walk through this broadcast. We pray that today's message will bless you and strengthen your commitment in serving Jesus Christ. Come and learn more about our ministry by visiting our website at thehiswillministry.org or email your comments to info@hiswillministry.org. We would love to hear from you. Your support and prayer for this ministry will help preach the gospel around the world. Stay tuned for Pastor Warner.
God has been leading me today to talk to you about the will of God. Now, how many people in here right now can hold up their hand and say with 100% assurity, you know what the will of God in your life is? Now, I heard something the other day that almost made me weep. My wife and I have been led to do some looking at other ministries. God has been driving us into prayer and into holiness. And so He's been driving us to look at some of the other ministries and the words that they are preaching today. And this pastor said that if we ask God what His will is for our lives, we are insulting God. If we get down on our knees during our prayer time and say, Lord, Thy will be done, and I want to do Your will for my life, what is it? We're insulting God. Now, if that's the case, then the living Son of God, Jesus, slapped God in the face, didn't He? Because Jesus taught us how to pray, and He says, Hallowed be Thy name. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, if the example of prayer we have is to pray that the Lord's will be done on earth, which we're part of, i.e. in our lives, then how can it be an insult to ask God to show you His will, to keep you in His will? Let's look what Paul tells us. Romans chapter 12. Get myself out of the Old Testament into the New Testament, I'll have an easier time finding Romans. Romans chapter 12. See, I've got my Bible tabs, but I slow down looking for verses anymore because I was told one time that it's a nasty little trick for preachers to have Bible tabs because then you can find what you're looking for too fast and everybody's left behind. So, if you notice this pause while I'm flipping, that's why. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So our advice from Paul is that we have to first be transformed from the world. You can't even have a hope of knowing what God's will is for your life if you are living in the world. Now, by living in the world, I mean the world is the one that's ruling you. The world is the one that's telling you what to do. And you're following their rules and regulations. Paul says you have to be transformed. Remember, he tells us we are to be a what? A peculiar people. We are to be a royal priesthood. A holy nation. Now, I don't know about any of you, but turn on your television set and tell me you see a holy nation being broadcast. Now, I granted you see some darn peculiar people on TV anymore. But you don't see the other two, do you? And that's where we have to stand out as different. Before we can know what is the perfect, acceptable will of God, we have to be different. We have to stand out as different from the world. is when you go to work, nobody can tell any difference in you. You don't stand out. See, being like Pastor and Kathy, when they go to work, they stand out. Because their work's church. So they automatically stand out. But if you go to work at the mines, or you do like I do, go to work in the oil field, you have to stand out. I have to admit, I have never seen so many foul-mouthed, foul-minded human beings in my life than in the oil patch. It's almost like underneath an ad for a job in the oil patch, it reads, must be IQ of 2 and have a filthy mind and mouth. Now, there are some really good people out there. They're really kind. Very nice. But the majority are a lost generation because they live in their own little world. You'll find that most of them are like gypsies. They go from rig to rig. They'll get in trouble. They'll go to the next rig. There'll be a tool pusher here. They'll do that. They don't get reached. So when I go out there, or when like Scott Adams, who's a welder, goes out there, or any other Christian that works in that industry, we have to be a peculiar person. We have to be different. We have to stand out, because if we don't, there's no way they're going to listen to our message. The horriblest, saddest thing I ever heard from a unsaved person about a church in Pinedale was, well, I went there a couple of times, but I saw the faces of people that I saw at the local bar, so I decided there was no difference between me and them, and why should I want to be a Christian? You can't know the will of God if you don't want to live like first God tells us. What did Jesus say? What did Paul say? What did Peter say? Be ye holy as I am holy. We have to be different. I don't care what your childhood did to you. That isn't an excuse for the way you live today. I don't care what your parents did to you. That's not an excuse for the way you live today. You make your own decision. You make your own life. And if it's not ruled by Jesus Christ, then you have, quote unquote, a hope in hell of finding His will for your life. The Bible is very plain and clear, black and white. You either live for me or you live for the world. You live for the world, you go to hell. You live for me, you go to heaven. And you can't expect to know the will of God. And if you're not living a holy life, you're not on your knees seeking holiness and perfection, then don't ask Him to show you His will. Because as we go through these scriptures, you're going to find that's part of His will for you. Let's look at the next scripture. John chapter 4. This is Jesus. Now, if anything, Jesus should be our absolute, absolute, absolute sign of what we should be. If we want to see the image of what you and I should be, we should look at Jesus. But Jesus is talking, John chapter 4, verse 31. In the meanwhile, His disciples prayed Him, saying, Master, eat. But He said unto them, I have meat to eat which you know not of. Now, don't you love this? This is the way we are. Oh, therefore His disciples said to one another, hath any man brought Him that He should eat? We don't think past this, do we? We think right here on the same level. His disciples have been wandering with Jesus. They've seen the miracles. They've seen what Jesus could do. And Jesus says, oh, I have meat to eat that you don't know of. And they're like, oh, it must have been that lady sitting at the well. I bet she brought him, went down to Burger King, brought him a burger. What does He say? Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. He that reapeth receive wages and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, that both he and that soweth and he that reapeth shall rejoice together. What did Jesus say his food is? See, Jesus was living on a spiritual plane that most of us haven't gotten to. And I'll admit it, I haven't gotten there yet. I want to. I strive to. But I'm human. But I'm getting better. You guys need to pray for me. I fell through a floor twice yesterday. The first time wasn't my fault. The second time I was doing something, I put a piece of carpet over the hole to keep my wife from walking over it. And I turned right around and walked into that room to grab something and went right through the floor.
Oh, brother.
So you need to pray for me. Now, falling through that floor twice, I know absolutely was not the will of God for my life. Was it? See, Jesus says that He has meat that they don't know of. That doing the will of God is His food. See, if you want to have power in your life, you want to have the ability to see the miracles that Jesus showed us, that the disciples saw, you have to be in the will of God. Think about it. If you don't live in the plane of holiness and the absolute will of God, and you had the power that we've seen in the church, in the days of the apostles, and you're living in the world, and you go to work, and your boss is just ragging on you like you've never seen. He's just tearing you up and down one wall, and you don't understand it, and you do like Elijah did. Turn around and curse him. What's going to happen? Same thing happened with Elijah, didn't it? Bears came out of the wilderness and pretty well chewed up all those young men that were calling him a baldy. See, that's why we don't see the things that we believe in, the things we want to see. Mary and I have been so blessed. In the last 3 months, we've been seeing miracles occur in several of the churches we've been working on. We've been seeing healings. We've seen people with bad knees from wrecks that could barely walk to come to church, prayed over, and God came down and healed them. The next day, they walked down the stairs, and they're like, hey, wait a minute, I just got down the stairs and didn't almost fall. It has nothing to do with Mary and I. It's God and the power of God. And the power of His Son and the power of His name. It is not the human being, and don't ever think it is. Because the minute you think you do something, you're out of the will of God. Jesus said, this is my food, the will of God. He lived, ate, breathed, drank to do one thing, the will of His Father in heaven. More times than we can count in the New Testament, in the four Gospels, Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you have heard me, you've heard the Father. I did not come to do my own will. I came to do the will of the Father. Now, if Jesus is our total, absolute example, then if you see a preacher on television and someone's healed and that person is interviewed and they say that preacher healed them, that isn't the will of God. The will of God is never for any single human being or man to get glory for what he did. And the minute anybody, your pastor's wife, myself, anybody takes credit for what Jesus Christ did and what God did, he's so far out of the will of God, it's not funny. Let's keep looking at what Jesus said about the will of God. Let's go to John chapter 5. Since my finger's there, I'll probably beat you. John chapter 5, verses 19. Starting in 19. Verily, verily, Jesus said unto them, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He see the Father do. For whatever things He does, also does the Son likewise. For the Father loves the Son, and show Him all things that He Himself does. And He will show Him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and quickens them, so even the Son quickens whom he will. For the Father judgeth not man, but hath committed all judgment to the Son. Think about that. As the Father raises the dead and quickens them, so shall the Son do this and greater things. Anybody remember what Jesus says? Gospel of Mark. He says, and ye shall do greater things than these. You shall drink poison and it shall not harm you. Etc. We always forget the first part. What's the first part of that verse? He says, go out and teach them the gospel. Teach them my word. Teach them and baptize them. And then he says, and these things shall follow you. See, Jesus never told us anything that was just a piece. You have to take the whole. We wonder why these things don't follow us? When was the last time that we were doing the will of God and we were out there telling our neighbor they needed Jesus? You know, my wife was reading me a lovely story the other day about love. It was a ministry that went in to reach what they call the gutter kids, or gutter punks is more appropriate the term. And these are kids that are homeless. We're talking 12, 13, 14, 15-year-old kids that are homeless. They live on the streets and they move from city to city. They don't have anybody that loves them. And this ministry went in with food and blankets. And that's all they went in with the first time. And the pastor said, we just came here to feed you, just to give you a warm meal. And these kids told the pastor, we'll feed our dogs first, and then you can feed us. And he said, well, I promise you we'll feed your dogs, but you're more important to Jesus than a dog. Well, they fed them, they gave them blankets, and they said they'd be back the next night to bring them additional blankets and food, but they wanted them to listen to what they had to say. They came back the next night, fed them, gave them blankets, and he got to preach to these kids. And you always wonder, do you ever get to anybody? Well, his mom was sitting in the back of the van when one of the kids walked up and said, can you believe this? This must be what Christians are really about. Most Christians just yell at us and preach at us. None of them have ever loved us. None of them have ever loved us. But the point is that these people went out to take care of those. But did you notice something about the kids? They wanted their pets fed, their dogs, which were their best friends because they had nobody, first. Now here you have a group of kids that have no self at all. I mean, if you're standing there on the street totally hungry, you're standing there on the street wanting a meal, and you say, feed my dog first, you have no self. But can you imagine what you could do with a set of those kids if you got them on fire for Jesus? No self. See, that's part of the will of God for you and I. This idiot box up here has to go. Have you ever noticed some of the greatest preachers and evangelists that ever lived had no education? One of them didn't even know how to read till his wife taught him how to read the Bible. You know why? Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. He didn't mean the kingdom of heaven when we get there, we're all going to be young and skinny and vibrant. Though I wouldn't mind being skinny. He meant the mentality. You know, everybody saw the thing with Michael Jackson taking his little kid and hanging him out the window. You couldn't have not seen that. It was on every newscast that existed. But you know, even though they all found problems with it, the one thing that that kid would have been doing was trusting Dad. My little children trusted me with their lives. They could jump off of anything, and if Daddy was there, they knew Dad was going to catch them. That's what Jesus is talking about. Getting rid of you and me. Getting rid of our wants. Getting rid of our desires. Getting rid of everything that's in here that inhibits the Holy Spirit. If you can't get rid of that, you can't have the will of God in your life. You know, if there's bitterness in your heart from your childhood, if there's hurt from a broken relationship, if you have anything against anybody, that takes part that Jesus wants. If there is something in you, someone has said something that really hurts you, someone has done something to you, your parents, your kids, your neighbors, your pastor, it don't matter. That's a hole in your heart that's filled with something that's not of God. Yeah. And if you let it grow, if you make the mistake of ever letting it grow, you'll push the Holy Spirit right out of you. You'll push the love of God right out of you. And you can't even bother asking what God's will is, because God can't get in there to tell you if He wanted to. There's no space. God had to work on me. Over my life, there's been a lot of hurts. There's been a lot of bumps. There's been a lot of grinds. The one time a preacher came down on me hard, and he wasn't even talking to me. But boy, I was sitting there, and I knew that sermon was written for my heart. And I was crying and weeping. But it made me realize, it's taken a lot of years to get rid of a lot of garbage. But it made me realize that if I want the will of Jesus Christ in my life, so that every step I take is of God, and every step I take is directed by Him, I can't be filled with garbage. And I don't care what your garbage is. You know, it just doesn't matter to Jesus. You know, if you guys knew half, and I don't even know the half, knew half of what Mary was through in her kid, as a kid, in her childhood, you'd be hiding under these chairs. She went through 16 years of counseling, and one day she's going to get up and tell everybody about it. Went through 16 years of counseling, and the counselors finally said to her, "Well, I'm sorry. There's nothing we can do. You're just going to spend the rest of your life with this little bit of bitterness and hate in there. You'll never be able to get rid of it. You'll never, ever, ever get rid of that pain." Now, how's that for a sentence? You might as well just tell somebody you're going to hell. I mean, to tell somebody, "Yo, I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do for you. You're going to be upset, and you're going to hurt, and you're going to hate, and you're going to be bitter all the rest of your life, so just live with it." Did it say that in here?
No.
Now, what does it say? Cast your burdens upon Jesus.
Amen.
Well, after 16 years of counseling, that's what my wife did. You know, she can talk to all of her relatives now. She can preach Jesus to them. She can even discuss what happened to her, and it doesn't faze her one little bit. God didn't take the memory. God took the pain. Took every single piece of pain away. It has nothing to do with the counselors. It has nothing to do with the love her husband has for her. It has to do with the precious glory of that one right up there, Jesus Christ. That's the whole point of you and I's existence. And if it isn't, don't use His name. I'm sorry, but don't use His name. You're insulting Him. If you're calling yourself a Christian and living for the world, you're spitting in His face. If I call myself a pastor and I turn around and use four-letter words, or I turn around and backbite people, or I turn around and gossip, or I turn around and do anything, I'm spitting in Jesus' face. I saw a cute little quote, which everybody probably has heard. I love math. Math and I never got along. No matter how good I was bad. But I can understand this one. One cross plus three nails equals for salvation. One cross plus three nails equals for salvation. I love that. Simple. See, that's what God's Word is. Simple. We have these preachers that go through it and come up with all these great exposés. It's simple, people. We were given the Holy Ghost. We are told that the Holy Spirit is one, a comforter, an empower, instructor. You got a problem reading this? King James, New King James, Standard Revised. Open it up and ask the Holy Ghost to show you. You want to know the will of God? Open up God's oracle and ask the Lord to show you. He wants you more than anything in His will. He wants you more than anything walking that narrow line. Jesus didn't say the road to heaven is wide like an interstate and paved in four lanes with an 80-mile-an-hour speed limit, did He? But how many pastors do you hear preaching the fast road to heaven? Now, Jesus said it's narrow, windy, and very few will find it. Many are called, but few are chosen.
That's right.
See, we've got to stay in the will. Let's look at John chapter 6. It'll take me a while to get there because I took my finger out. John chapter 6. Verse 38. Let's start in 38. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do Him who sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that all which He has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise up again on the last day. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on Him have everlasting life. I will raise him up in the last days. Now that's your first key as to what the true will of God is for us and for every human being. Jesus says, I came down because God sent me here to do His will. And His will is that everyone who sees me, everyone that hears me, everyone that believes on me should have eternal life. Haven't you ever asked yourself, why does God tarry? I mean, I look at the world today and I think, man, if I was God, I would have come down and wiped it out. I would have redeemed my people and wiped those evil boogers out. I got rid of them. I've been tired of it. Aren't you glad I'm not God? Because one more sinner might be saved. But see, that's the way man thinks. God says, my thoughts aren't yours, and obviously they must not be, because if I was God, I probably would have taken all the Christians home and got rid of the evil ones a long time ago. But God's will is that every single person have the chance to hear from His Son and make that decision. See, here we come back to decision time. Here we come back to you. You make the decision. Am I going to walk this line, which is nice and wide and easy? Or am I going to try to stay on this little narrow line right here that leads me to heaven? And as you can see, I can't balance me. See, that's a good example of how we need the Lord to hold us up. But it's you again. Your decision. And as long as you are thinking, you're going to make the decision, aren't you? Jesus has to be thinking. The greatest little acronym that I've ever seen was WWJD. What would Jesus do? If every single thing you do, every single thought you have is preceded by what would Jesus do, and you answer it honestly, you're not going to make any mistakes, are you? Jesus wouldn't lie. Jesus wouldn't backbite. Jesus wouldn't make the decision to go snowmobiling rather than worship His Lord. You know, that's the saddest statement I've ever seen. Mary and I, every time we come down to Mountain View, come down from Pinedale, you would not believe the amount of vehicles. I mean, people will get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to get the first slot in Pinedale to go snowmobiling. But you couldn't drag them to church with the hounds of hell chasing them. Because playing is more important to them. And we haven't convinced them they're going to go to hell. And we got a gospel today that doesn't even hardly preach hell and damnation. And then think about it. When was the last time you guys heard a really good hell and damnation sermon? I can't remember the last time I heard one. But I remember those good old days. I remember those preachers when you're sitting in the chair and you start sweating. You could actually start feeling like, hey, wait a minute, the flames of hell are licking at my feet. I better repent, brother. And you can't be in the will of God without that. Does anybody wonder, you know, Jesus always talked about the Pharisees. He said they were like whitewashed tombs. He said they would tithe of mint and dill but forget the important things. Do you know what the real sin of the Pharisees were? The real sin? Look in Luke chapter 7, verse 30. Luke chapter 7, verse 30. If you have the King James Version, it'll say that the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the will of God against themselves, not being baptized of Him. And he's talking of John. The sin of the Pharisees, to start with, was they rejected the will of God. That was the whole thing that started everything else. If you listen to the preachers that are popular today, really, really, really listen to some of them, compare their words to what the Bible says. And I'm going to be willing to bet you that of many of them, their first sin is they walked away from the will of God in their lives. Proverbs tells us, pride goeth before a fall. Now, if there's no self left, if you're totally selfless, how could pride ever go before a fall? Because you have none. But if there's any of you left, then there's enough of you left to have pride. And if you have pride, you can't be walking in the will of God. You can't be walking this narrow little line right here. Because you're thinking, well, I'm fine, I can just walk like this. God's okay with that, I know it. I read a scripture somewhere that God says, it's okay if I do this. I know that. Instead of going back, and like it says, no scriptures unto interpretation unto itself. Paul made sure we knew. Take the whole. Don't take one scripture and write a Bible around it. Take the Bible and write your life around it.
Hi, this is Mary Warner. I'd like to thank you for listening to today's broadcast. If you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior, I would like to invite you to do that with me right now. It'll be the most important decision you ever make in your life. Bow your head with me now in prayer. Father, we come to you right now as sinners in need of a Savior. Lord, we ask that you would forgive us for all of our sins. We are heartfully sorry for them. Lord Jesus, come into our hearts and cleanse us with your precious blood. You died to set us free from sin. We accept that gift of salvation, Jesus, and we will turn away from our lives of sin and follow you. Thank you, Father, for sending your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. Thank you that He has resurrected from the dead and right now sits at your right hand in heaven interceding for us. Thank you, Father, for providing the pardon for sin that we don't have to spend an eternity suffering in hell. If you prayed that prayer with me right now, please contact us at His Will Ministry, Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming, 82941, or online at info@HisWillMinistry.org. Your new life in Christ Jesus has begun. You need to be baptized by immersion in water and seek out Christian fellowship. You will grow daily in your new spiritual life by reading God's Word, the Bible. Send your prayer request to me, Mary Warner, the prayer team supervisor of His Will Ministry, to mary@hiswillministry.org. Your financial investment in this ministry helps us send the gospel around the world. Write us at His Will Ministry, Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming, 82941. And have a wonderful day today serving Jesus.